Well, if you have a Bible with you today, I'm going to encourage you to open it up to the book of Philippians. Today we're going to be in chapter 3. Am I like super loud? I feel like it's thundering. So a while back, I was sitting in, this was at our old house, I was sitting in our living room. And my daughter was rummaging kind of through our entertainment center. I don't know if you guys are like us, right? You have that entertainment center, and there's that area where you kind of stick, you know, movies and things of the sort. So my daughter, she was rummaging through, and she wanted to watch a movie. So I hear she's rummaging. I was playing on my iPad or something. And all of a sudden, I look, and she has this puzzled look on her face. And she turns to me, and she holds up a movie, and she goes, "Who's Napoleon Dynamite?" And I'm like, only the greatest movie ever. And as those words are exiting my mouth, from the kitchen, I hear Angela, "We're not watching that stupid movie." How many guys have ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, right? A lot of us. I think it's one of the funniest movies ever. Now, if you've seen it, you probably remember this guy here. Uncle Rico. You remember him? He's the guy in the blue shirt. For those of you who don't remember Uncle Rico is Napoleon's uncle. And Uncle Rico was the star quarterback back in high school. So throughout the entire movie, Uncle Rico lives in the past. He's always talking about being back in high school. At one point in the movie, he even says that back in 82, that's how he says it. He says, back in 82, he could throw a pigskin a quarter of a mile. And another part, he's looking at some mountains and he goes, "I bet you I could throw a football over that mountain." That is Uncle Rico. He's a guy stuck in the past. Have you guys ever met someone like that? A person who's stuck in the past? You know, it can be fun to reminisce. It can be fun to go like, "Oh my gosh, do you remember?" Or you run into someone you haven't seen in a long time and you start reminiscing about a cherished memory. But sometimes we get stuck in the past. Sometimes our lives seem to exist only in the past. And what happens is it prevents us from living today. You know, our spiritual lives, that same thing can happen. In our spiritual life, we can get stuck sometimes in the past. Maybe kind of a supernatural spiritual high, or maybe God used you in a certain way, or you've seen something happen, and everything's kind of about back then. And while that's great, and we want to celebrate those things in our lives, how God has used us, we have to be careful that we don't get stuck in the past and lose sight of what God wants to do in us and through us today. Well, if you're jumping in fresh today, a few weeks ago, we began this series on the book of Philippians. And if you're not familiar with it, really, this letter to the church in Philippi, that's what this is. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church that he helped start. And really, it's this letter of celebration. Paul writes this letter to this church who's really transforming their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as I read through this letter, the book of Philippians, what I think is, I want God to say the same things about our church. I want God to write a letter to our church and say, "Man, you guys get it. You guys are making a difference. Your community is being transformed because you're a part of it." That's what the book of Philippians is all about. And that's the reason why we're studying it. Well, as we jump into today's text, right? So we're week 5 this week. Yeah, week 5, man. It's like flying by. Well, as we jump in today, I want to just kind of give you a quick reminder from last week. If you remember last week, Paul wrestled with the Judaizers. So the Judaizers were a group of people who said that unless you keep Mosaic law, Old Testament laws, you couldn't be saved. That, yeah, Jesus saves, but you need Jesus plus the law. Right? So it was this works mentality. You had to work for your salvation. You had to strive. If you could just be good enough, if you could just do enough things, then maybe God would accept you. And Paul, right, if you remember from last week, Paul is not jiving with this at all. I mean, he hates that type of theology, and he puts the Judaizers in their place. And after doing that, listen to what Paul says. We're going to kick it off here in verse number 4. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Right? Paul says, right, now remember, Paul has just combated this idea that you can work for your salvation. You can do enough righteous things, and that makes you right with God. And Paul goes, hang on. You know those religious check boxes that you're saying that you checked? Paul says, I've checked them all. I could look at my past accomplishments, and I could go, I'm good, I'm set, I'm golden. But look what he says instead. Continue on in verse number 7 here. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings. Very interesting statement that Paul fits into there. Becoming like him in his death, by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that was kind of a big section that we read, and there was a lot of stuff in there. It's a lot of really important stuff. You know, as I was reading this week, and I was kind of meditating on it and thinking about it and kind of doing the outline for my message, I was thinking about how there's a section in here that I've heard taught on multiple times, and maybe you have as well, and it's found in verses 13 and 14. Maybe we could put up the slide we were just on before. Right, verse 13, one more. Right there, brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own. Next slide. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but the way I've always heard this before when I would go to churches or talk to people and I would hear this quoted is this, that Paul says, I'm forgetting the past and I'm pushing on. I'm looking forward to the future. And when it's always spoken about, it's always spoken in this context that Paul's forgetting his mistakes. How many of you guys have heard it explained that way? Some of us, right? That Paul's saying, right, the things that I've failed in, my sins, the things that, right, maybe I'm overcome with guilt about, I forget about those things and I press on to the call of Christ. Well, that's true. Paul does do that. And he speaks about that in other places throughout Scripture. But that's not what Paul's talking about here in this Scripture. Paul's not talking about all the mistakes he made. What did he talk about? Remember what he said, right? When he opens this section, he says, if anyone has reason to boast, it's me. And then he brings up things like his ethnicity. He brings up things like his family. He brings up things like his education. and his religious practices and his vocation. He brings up all these things that we would look at and we would go, hang on, Paul, these are good things. These are things that should be celebrated. These are things that should be right, kind of, it's the word I'm looking for. We'll just go with celebrated, because the other word's not coming to me. Right? These are things that Paul should really grab a hold of. And he should just, right, he should be referring to them over and over and over again. But Paul says, I look at these things and I forget them. I forget these things. I forget these things that lie behind me. And instead, I pursue the call of Christ today. Let me say this. Paul's not saying that any of those things are bad. Because maybe right now you're sitting here going like, hang on, are you saying like the things I've done are bad or, right, my family? No, I'm not saying that at all. But Paul says we got to be careful that we don't get trapped by those things. We don't get trapped by the things that God has done in us and through us in the past in such a way that it hinders us or paralyzes us from being used by God today. 19 years ago, at the age of 20, I became a follower of Jesus Christ. I met Jesus laying on a waterbed after a heavy night of drinking, which is the last place you want to be after you've been drinking, is on a waterbed. But that is part of my story, and that's where I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, it wasn't just kind of an intellectual assent. It wasn't just, I believe. It was a radical transformation in my life. Sometimes my wife will get to talking, and I'll share some stuff, and she'll go, I just can't imagine you doing that. That's how Jesus moved in my life. So when I became a Christ follower at the age of 20, man, it just totally radically transformed my life. I was so on fire and excited for God. And I can remember all my free time. I was just reading the Bible. I was in church. I was volunteering all the time. I mean, you name it. Whatever I could do, I was doing it. And through that, I got connected to an inner city mission. It was in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I lived. And I had the opportunity to serve there. And what we would do is we would serve people who lived in the inner city, whether that was providing for physical needs, cooking food for them. These were mostly people who either lived in severe poverty, wrestled with addiction, or were homeless. And so I got to be a part of this ministry, and we would go out on the streets, and we would pray for prostitutes, and we would minister the gospel. And we seen things, and my wife will verify this because I've told her this story before. I seen God move in ways I had never seen him move in and have yet to ever see him move in those ways again. I'll be honest. There was something about working and serving in that environment and putting myself in situations that now I look back and I go like, that was kind of crazy. We would go to like known crack houses and like, do you guys know Jesus? We want to tell you. We would like knock on their door and tell them about Jesus. And we'd be like, there's totally a drug deal going down here. We're going to get shot, but Jesus is going to protect us. It was awesome. It was. And now I look back, if my kids did that, I would ground them. So it was awesome. And we've seen God move in just amazing ways. In May of 2002, it came time for me to leave Grand Rapids as I had enlisted in the military. So I left for basic training, and I served for 4 years. And the reality is, I haven't been back to Streetlight since May of 2002. So it's been over 16 years since I've been back. Now, imagine this. Imagine if you came to me and you said, Brent, what's God doing in your life right now? How is God using you? How is God moving through you? Like, how are you joining him in the mission? And I went, man, let me tell you about Streetlight. Let me tell you about how God moved and what God did. And my guess is your response to that would be like, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing that happened. And then you would say this, but Brent, That was 16 years ago. That was 16 years ago. What's God doing today? What's God doing today? You know, we want to celebrate what God has done in our individual lives and what God has done in our church life throughout our history. But we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we don't get stuck in the past. That we're not like Uncle Rico, where the best days are behind us. But instead, we're living today for Jesus. Today, we're experiencing God's grace in our life, and that grace is moving through us in such a way that it's impacting the world around us. Because that's what's happening in the book of Philippians. It's interesting. The elders, we met earlier this past week, and we had an elder meeting, obviously. And it's interesting, in the book of the book of 1 Thessalonians, which is written probably 8 years prior to the book of Philippians, Paul references the church in Philippi. And it's interesting, you know what he says about them? Not good things. He actually talks about the church in Philippi, and he says that he suffered from them. And we were wrestling with this as elders, and we were like, man, this is crazy. Because on one hand, we have this letter of celebration of this church that's making a difference and it's transforming its world. And yet, some years before that, Paul's going like, man, it was kind of terrible there. It was terrible. And we came to this conclusion of that it shows God's sovereign grace. About how God can take this situation and he can turn it, he can change it, and he can bring about his will. Where Paul goes from at one point going, man, it was really tough to be there, to 8 years later, Paul's writing a letter going, man, you guys get it. You guys are changing the world. Right? In a course of approximately 8 years, Paul moves from these two positions. I believe this, that God wants to use us. God wants to move in our lives in such a way that we transform the world around us, not yesterday, not the year before that, but today. God wants to use us today. He wants to move through us today. And in order to do that, we can't be looking back, but we got to be in the present and saying, God, how do you want to use me today? But as I was thinking about this, I also thought about there's another side to this coin. Because just as we can look back at the past, we can get caught looking at the future as well. You know, it's easy to say tomorrow. Tomorrow. I remember, so those of you who don't know, I used to be quite the smoker. And Angela always told me that she wouldn't marry me if I continued to smoke. Well, I'll just say who won that argument. But no, I joke. But I remember this. Every now and then, it would come up. And she'd be like, when are you going to quit? You know, I'm going to quit soon. Right? And then it would be, you know what? Beginning of the year, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to quit smoking. You know what, next week, I've had it, I'm done. You know, cigarettes went up this much money, I'm quitting. Or even I'd get to that point, I'd be like, tomorrow, I'm going to quit, I'm going to enjoy this last cigarette tonight, and tomorrow I'm done. And then I'd wake up in the morning, and I would go, I'm going to enjoy this pack of cigarettes. You know, because here's the reality. Tomorrow actually never comes. Because tomorrow is always tomorrow. Think about that. Tomorrow is always tomorrow. Just as we can get stuck reminiscing, living in the past, we can get stuck hoping for the future. Living for the future, saying, you know what, tomorrow, next week, next year, we'll get serious about this. I'll step out in this way. I'll serve in this capacity. I'll get connected in this way. I'll live more generously. I'll forgive this person, whatever it is. Tomorrow. But yet Paul says, no, we're supposed to live for Jesus today. Today. And here's the thing, my friends. Is it difficult? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's all roses and butterflies and rainbows. But it's worth it. Listen to what Matthew 13 says. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he covered up. Then in his, what's that word? His joy. He goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Sounds a lot like what Paul said, didn't it? Right? Here's this guy. He encounters God's grace, the kingdom of God, and he says, everything I have, I'm willing to lay it all down because of this amazing grace and the joy that comes with it. How many of you guys have ever seen footage of astronauts in space? Right? The moon landing, things of the sorts, space station. I don't know about you guys, but every time I see those photos, I'm like, coolest job ever. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being in outer space or walking on the moon or driving that cool car on the moon? I mean, it would be amazing. You know, as amazing as that sounds, we have an even more amazing call on our lives. Right? We think of like going to the moon or whatever it is, whatever your thing is, that you would go like, man, that would be like the pinnacle of the coolest job ever. Whatever that is for you, the call of Jesus is even greater. Because Jesus isn't calling us to go walk on the moon. Jesus is inviting us. He's inviting us into his mission of bringing redemption to this world. Right? We don't get to go walk on the moon for a minute. We get to transform this world. We get to pick up the mission that Jesus started and join with him and be like him. Jesus even said crazy things like this. Even greater things than I do, you'll do. Hang on, what? Jesus said that. We have been called to an amazing, amazing mission of bringing redemption to this world. God wants us to be a part of that. And he says this, that the rewards of that not only transform today, but it goes into eternity. Think about that. It goes into eternity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul writing again. This is to the church in Thessalonica. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. I love this. Paul says that one day we are gonna stand in front of Jesus. We're gonna step out of this life and we're gonna stand in front of Christ. And Paul says, our joy, what we're gonna celebrate when we're in front of Jesus is the work that we've done in his name. I mean, that's what the church in Thessalonica was. It was the work that he had done in Jesus' name. And he says this, that work is going to be like a crown on our head. I don't know about you guys, but when I see someone with a crown, I'm like, that person's kind of a big deal. Or I think that person's kind of crazy because they're wearing a crown, right? I don't know why they're wearing a crown here. No. A crown is, what is it? It's a sign of respect, of honor. Privilege. Paul says that the day we stand before Jesus, the work that we have done, how we have engaged the mission, how we have lived today for him, that the fruit of those actions are going to be like a crown on our head. And Paul says that's what we're going to join in, or that's what we're going to have joy in. We're going to celebrate that day what we have done for Jesus. Right, all of us have experienced that. Maybe it was with a parent or an employer or someone. Have you ever done a good job, and that person who you wanted to notice notices, and they're like, "Wow, you did an amazing job." right? And that sense of pride that arises in you, that sense of like accomplishment, that joy that makes you go like, man, yeah, it was worth it. Magnify that exponentially. And that's what you're going to experience when you're in front of Jesus. When Jesus says, well done. Well done. You took what I gave you and you used it to transform the world. But to do that, we have to live for Jesus today. It's not about getting caught up, reminiscing, living in the past. And it's not about kind of always pushing it off until tomorrow. It's about living today for Jesus. Well, I want to help you. I wrote up, I'm going to have some of our deacons come up. I have some cards here. Can I get a couple deacons? Or anyone, guys, I don't care. Let's get these passed out. Everyone gets a card. Thank you, sir. So, you guys know any good jokes? All right. Sure. Sue actually has one for us. All right, Sue, knock, knock. Who's there? Yodel lady who? No. So as you guys get the cards, you're going to notice that the card on it says this: Jesus, what do you desire to accomplish in me and through me today? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage you this, to take this card and put it a place where you will see it every day. Could be your bathroom mirror, could be your refrigerator, doesn't matter, right? Maybe for me, it'd be on my Harley. Right, just put it somewhere where you're going to encounter it every day. Maybe first thing in the morning or whenever it is that you get up. I know everyone works different shifts. And then I'm going to ask you to do this, to pray this simple prayer, to take 4 seconds that it takes and pray this prayer and see where God leads you. Jesus, what do you desire to accomplish in me and through me today? Don't get trapped by yesterday. Don't get shackled by the promises of tomorrow. But instead, live for Jesus today. Use the opportunities that he has given you. And together, we can be like the church in Philippi. A church that's making a difference in the world and transforming the world around it. So let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your love and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, thank you for the opportunity to join you in the mission of bringing redemption to this world. Lord, we recognize how easy it is to get caught up, either stuck in the past or thinking about tomorrow, when the reality is you want us to live for you today. So God, we recognize today, September the 19th, or August the 19th, 2018, Jesus, what do you want to accomplish in us and through us today? And Lord, as we move into that, as you move through us, God, we pray that we would see your kingdom expanded. We pray that your grace would extend to all those that we encounter. And Lord, we pray that today the world would be a better place because of your church in it. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who does not know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, that God, that you would open their heart to your love, and Lord, that they would turn to you and that they would respond to your grace with faith and repentance. In Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing song, please? And with this is a bit of a prayer of dedication, so to speak. It's called Use Me. And we'll take care of the verses, but please join us on the chorus. And as you do, think about singing it to him.
Use me, Jesus, use me.